today I am joined by Anastasia Button, and I'm excited. So I've known Anastasia for years. I knew her before she was big time. That's my claim to fame, is I knew her before she was amazing. Well, no, you've always been amazing, but I knew it before the rest of the world. And I am so incredibly thrilled to have her on today. So Anastasia is the author of the book, Hashtag New Job, New Life, The Millennials Take Charge Plan for Success. She's an international speaker, cross-generational workplace and talent management corporate consultant. That's a mouthful. A trainer, an adjunct professor in executive education at University of Denver. She's been featured in places like Inc. Magazine, Monster.com, 9 News, and TED Magazine, and she helps regularly lead small, medium, and large businesses to cross-generational leadership and talent management. Everything from Express Employment Pros to Anadarko Oil and Gas. Anastasia, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Justin. Yeah, I think you did that great. It is quite a mouthful.
It's quite the accolades, and certainly as somebody that has known of your work and seen you for years, I know exactly what you're doing. I see what you're up to, and it's why I'm so thrilled to have you on, because I think you can help a lot of people. In fact, I know you can, but that 2 to 3 paragraphs that I just read doesn't give us justice about what you're going to bring to the table today. So why don't you tell us 1-2 minutes, a little bit more about you and what you're passionate about.
Well, once upon a time, I was a lost millennial, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what to do with myself. The economy crashed. I, you know, just graduated with a history degree, which was super useful back then. And there was a time where in 2 years, I applied to 2,000 jobs. This is when I was living in California. And I got no interviews. It was ridiculous. Like, it was a horrible time. So I was kind of forced into entrepreneurship in a way. And it led me down a weird rabbit hole. But I was one of those people also that people were kind of like, you're just going to be an average human being. You're going to be an average student. You're not a good writer. You're not a good speaker. You're just average. And when I went into entrepreneurship, man, what a journey that took. Mm-hmm. You have to just bring up your game. And I was told all the time, Anastasia, you can't write. Anastasia, you can't speak. All of those things. And I debunked them all because I was like, no, I am going to get this done. I'm going to make an impact on this world. God damn it. And I'm going to make it happen. And so, you know, just very shortly after, I came out with the book that you mentioned, Hashtag New Job, New Life. I wrote a book. I've been on so many stages across the world. I've spoken to over 10,000 people worldwide. And I've consulted companies like you mentioned, Anadarko Oil and Gas. And so basically my story is just really unleashing what I call the authentic self. Is peeling off the pieces of armor you put on your whole life and finally just showing the world what you got. Because you'd be surprised, guys, when you start to take off those pieces of armor, the world has really been waiting for you to arrive. And that's just what I did. I decided to arrive.
Yeah, great. So I'm going to throw you a curveball. We were talking before I hit the record button, and I told you what your first question was going to be. But then you said this amazing stuff, and I'm going to give you a completely different question.
Great.
because I think what people are really going to need to hear during this time is, what does it mean to unleash their authentic selves? There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of questions from society to economy to government to job status. We're having HR experts on here. We're having business consultants. What does it mean for me to show up with my authentic self in a time like this?
You know, let's paint the story of what it is that when you're not in an authentic place, what does it mean to put on the pieces of armor? So through life, we get told no. Through life, we get hurt. Through life and career, even, we just have to put up almost like a personality, right? A persona, as it were, a facade. And we go to work and we feel like we can accomplish. We're putting on the badges of armor, you know, all the accolades we're getting if you're working hard, etc. But then there comes a time where you realize, you know, no one really sees me for me. I feel like a fraud. I feel like I'm going down a path that is what someone else has carved for me rather than my own. And whether or not you're doing the job you love or not, all that is true around, I think every human being feels it. But to unleash your authentic self is honestly just a movement of letting go. Letting go of this persona you've crafted, this person you've created. And in essence, you create yourself. And you've chosen to create based off of others' opinions or what you felt like you were forced to be into, or even traumas in your past. And what you had to do is to survive. And so these pieces of armor, you know, you put the chest plate on, you put the helmet on, you put the face plate on, you just start peeling away a bit of the layers one at a time. So one exercise that I encourage a lot of people to do is really leverage social media for this. You are going to get some naysayers, just go in knowing that. But chances are, you're actually not. When I say unleashing your authentic self and the world is waiting for you to arrive, you really start to see that people have really been waiting for you to stop pretending and to start be this authentic person. They can feel that person inside of you. You can feel that person crawling out of your stomach, just wanting to get out sometimes. You want to speak up. You want to go into a program. You want to go and travel somewhere, but you don't. You hesitate. And so when you start to peel off these layers by posting something on social media. So for example, what I did for myself last year, even I'm still unleashing my authentic self. I feel like this is a journey. It's never just, and I'm here. But what I did is last year I posted on social media my story. I'm a published author and I can't write. And I've been told this my entire life. And to be true, to like hold people credit, yes, I am not the best writer in the world. I have struggled my entire life. I've hidden it through speaking. So I try to speak to people. I try not to text. I try not to email as much as I possibly can. I try to use my voice. I'm a natural orator. And I told my story and I did it in my own writing format, which was almost like poetry in a way. And so many people resonated with that. You'd be surprised if you just get a little tiny bit more vulnerable and just say, hey, I struggle with this. Do you? And you'd be surprised how many people come in and say, yes, that's what I'm struggling with right now. That's what I struggled with 5 years ago. This post that I put out there, I'm a published author and I can't write, exploded on my own platform. It didn't go viral, I would say, but on my platform it did. And so it was just surprising. I got emails, Justin. People send me emails. They went to my website, found my email, sent me an email, and they're like, oh my gosh, I cried reading your story. I can so resonate with this. You keep going. I'm going to go write my own book, because my favorite thing that people tell me when they tell me their self-limiting beliefs or their limitations, they're like, I can't speak. I can't go into business. I don't have enough money. But my favorite is, Anastasia, I can't publish a book because I can't write. And I'm like, oh, ho, ho.
Can I help you?
So, you know, it's really cool because how you can inspire others to take action. And then you begin to inspire yourself and know, I unleashed a little bit of my authentic self to the world, and I was so accepted that people really felt like they could connect with me on a deeper level. And, you know, in all reality, no matter what generation you are, gender you are, nationality you are, race, does not matter. We all want deep connections with others. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can really do that, even especially in leadership, is to just let go of this persona, begin to let go and take off the pieces of armor.
That's amazing. And you're touching on a lot of important topics, some of which are coming up throughout different interviews. And it's fun to see people take ownership of this and how everybody's bringing their own perspective, because what I'm hearing are things like vulnerability, conquering and leaning into fear, and knowing your strengths. Mm-hmm. So how do we get started on that journey, right? Somebody's watching this online conference and they're yes, okay, I get what Anastasia's saying. I need to lean into this. I've been afraid for a long time. What have you found as like that baby step number one to maybe build a little bit of that confidence to try baby step number two?
Well, kind of to that point of lean into fear, I think there's a better way to describe that that helps with that step to really get things moving. Instead of leaning into fear, literally immerse yourself into that fear.
Like, oh, wow. Okay.
Feel it. Because here's what happens is that, say, you know, there's an attractive person across the room and you're like, oh, I really want to go talk to that person. Just as an example, we can all probably relate to. And you're just going, this person's gorgeous, it's beautiful, probably a little bit out of my league. And what we do is we get scared. And so we avoid the feeling of the fear and just cut it off, you know? And these moments will come up of inspiration. We're like, but I can't, I'm too afraid. And so we cut off the feeling. What I'm actually encouraging you to do is fully feel the fear. Like, just go into it even more. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to stand up and walk this moment. But what it does is it gets you to be familiar with the feeling and know that it will pass through. So, you know, as I also say, is that there's something you're afraid of. You either want to go around it, you want to go under it, you want to jump over it, or you just want to run away. And it's like you're literally avoiding the feeling of fear. When you actually go through the feeling of fear and get to the other side eventually, you will feel so much stronger. You will know exactly how fear feels. So it's not going to be so unfamiliar to you. When things are more familiar to you, you understand how to work with them. You understand how to communicate with it, how to, tools you can use with it. So what we do is we feel fear, and then we don't want to feel the fear, so we avoid it. But I'm saying dive in deep, and feel through it. And it may take a few times, maybe even more, to actually get to the other side of it. But the thing is that you got to start exercising, feeling the fear, and doing it anyway.
Yeah. Oh, holy smokes, that's good stuff. That's amazing. So we're charging headlong. We're driving through this fear. Coming out on the other side of it, what are some of those things I should be aware of that maybe my authentic self is starting to peek through, right? If it's this repressed thing or this thing we've tried to avoid, how do I start to know when it's actually happening to celebrate that?
So, you know that feeling when you express something you're angry about, frustrated, or concerned? It could be to a partner, it could be to a relationship, it could be to your mom, it could be to your coworker or boss, it doesn't matter. When you express something that's been eating you alive or just really bothering you, annoying you, you feel so much lighter. It doesn't matter if the other person accepts it or not, it may piss you off that they didn't or whatever, but the fact that you actually communicated something, you let something go out of your body that literally feels like it's tearing something up inside or it's just uncomfortable, you releasing that tension through communication, it lifts off so much weight off of your shoulders. So, you know, it took me a while to really identify that I need to really listen to my body. And we tend to love to go up into our head and we're just like, how do I think this is going to work? Pay attention to your stomach, pay attention to your shoulders, pay attention to your feet, your knees. Yeah. Does something feel weak? Does something feel strong? Does something feel like it's crying? You know, these are indicators of your instinct. And we've been avoiding instinct for so long. And so when you can communicate whatever's been bothering you or what you're excited about, even you're like shaking with excitement and you're not able to settle down until you communicate it, right? So it's the same aspect. You're getting it out of your body. And when you do that, you literally feel like the world has lifted off your shoulders. Like, oh, I can breathe again. Things like that. Those small steps are pieces of releasing your authentic self. It's just really telling your truth, listening to your body, and stop being in your head so much, because that's where fear loves to breed itself. Mm. And so you really want to stay in your body as much as you can and just pay attention to it.
Yeah. Oh, that's good stuff. As somebody that works primarily remotely with people, right? A lot of what I do is distance-based. We're doing, most of the time it's phone calls. I've seen an uptick in Zoom now, but most of the time when the world is normal, it's phone calls. And one of the things that I don't think people really understand till you do it frequently enough, I can hear the difference in somebody once we've analyzed a problem and they're feeling that weight release. Like, okay, so Anastasia, tell me your problem. And like, I feel that tension in your chest and your shoulders, and you start to round. And then we coach through the issue. And by the end, I can say, man, you just sound and feel different. Like, the energy coming through the phone is so incredibly different that I don't think people realize the power that our voice and our posture can have. So if we're struggling with that, what are some of your tips to stay in your body and feel that release and that energy?
Well, the first thing is to get familiar with it. Again, it kind of goes back to the fear base. It's like you've been avoiding your body for a reason. You've been detaching from your body and staying in your head for a reason. And just start feeling into it. For me, it was really starting to get into yoga. Now, that's usually what people start doing, actually, is yoga or fitness or something. It can be something as simple as, you know, tapping. You know, tapping is a great tool to do. If you guys don't know what tapping is, it's just a wonderful way to really get into your body, and it helps people with PTSD and any kind of traumas. And so it's really helpful. And again, it's just really getting your energy back into your body and not in your head so much. Mm. And, you know, another great way is really communicate to people, you know, a good friend of yours, and be like, you know, I kind of want to do this exercise. It'd be great if you could just listen and help me understand some things. I want to discuss what I'm feeling in my body right now. Be like, you know, let's just talk about my toes. How do my toes feel? I mean, it may sound silly, but it works. It's just being conscious about it and just kind of sitting in and being like, how does my tailbone feel? How does my spine feel? It feels like it could sit up a little bit further, right? We're so often looking into our phones and we're looking at our computers or we're looking down. We're not really looking at our horizon, as we can call it. We're not really looking ahead. We're looking down. And when we're looking ahead, we tend to pay more attention to our posturing and our body. When we're looking down, we tend to be more focused in our head and we're not really present. And that's kind of key, is really just being present here in the moment. Stop thinking so much about the future and the fear of it, and stop thinking so much about the past and how it's hurt you, and just be in this moment today and just kind of talk about your body. That's really what you can do.
That's really good. And it's going to help a lot of people. And I'm interested, especially given your background, I mean, reading your bio and hearing what you're passionate about, you're really trying to blend these two worlds, right? You have this personal, authentic side, and you have the way that that relates to business, culture, and leadership, and dynamics, and ethics, and all of that stuff. So what's that relationship between how individuals feel this, and is there a parallel to the way, you know, a business operates or works or has expectations?
Well, let me paint that with a story. So have you ever worked in an environment or within a team or group where you just feel that there's somebody in the group that is just totally fake?
Yes.
Maybe it's you. It's probably somebody else. And you just know that they're either lying or they're putting up a facade. And, you know, there's definitely things going on in the background they're not wanting to communicate. And that's kind of what I'm getting at is, and that's more of an extreme case, but what I'm getting at is that when you are not authentic, and when you are putting on this facade to because you're trying to protect yourself, you're not able to let others in. And so you don't feel like you're trustworthy, probably because you're not. You don't feel like you tell the truth, so it's going to be hard to work with you. You know, all sorts of things start to come up in team dynamics and workplaces. But you need to also have a very safe environment in order for you to feel like you can open up, especially if you're just starting. So if you have a team member, maybe you are that team member that's putting on a facade or, you know, you're fake and you're just needing to open up a little bit more. Start with a small step by sending an email to your boss and be like, you know, I would love some support here. And I would love to have a chat with you on how we can probably make this more of a safer place. So I feel like I can be more open with the team. That's all you have to say. You know, they don't have to say super personal things or anything like that. And when you have that chat, you just explain to them, I don't feel comfortable in my own skin. And you probably have felt that, you know. And just starting that conversation, it starts to build a relationship of trust. And that trust starts to ease out and ooze out to the team. And your team starts to see you start to unleash more of your authentic self. And so more of that can happen. But now you set the tone. Now here's the thing with leadership. You got to set the tone. Mm-hmm. And so when you start to set the tone of unleashing, and if you're the leader in this scenario, great. Because now the rest of the team starts to do that as well. Once they start to see, oh, they've been accepted for unleashing a little bit more. Maybe I can too, right? It's kind of that, it's just social dynamics between humans. Yeah. So with leadership training and generational talks that I do, I try to make sure that everybody feels like it's a safe place. You can express your frustrations. You can express your solutions, especially amongst a group that's very different from each other and comes from very different backgrounds. The more diverse, the better. And when you start to have one person open up, the other opens up. And then the whole group eventually, maybe there's like one or two that don't, but usually the whole group does open up and it's a more trusting place. And you build bonds, you build friendships, you build great strength and loyalty. And when that happens, now you can feel like you can trust going to somebody with a problem to find a solution rather than hiding the problem that just escalates into a big issue. Like one thing that I saw was ClickFunnels, the owner of ClickFunnels.
Yeah,
that guy. Oh, Branson.
Richard Branson.
Yep. Brunson. I keep wanting to say it's Richard Branson, which is owner of Virgin. It's not
close.
True.
Yeah. Maybe he wishes.
That guy, ClickFunnels. He mentioned one of his past companies, there was a gal that was his accountant or bookkeeper, and she was fixing numbers because they weren't making money and she didn't want to disappoint him or feel like it was going to be an issue. She was like, it'll probably just all work out. Well, ended up that they weren't paying payroll taxes. And so the government came in and say, hey, you got to pay payroll taxes, hundreds of thousands of dollars that he didn't have. And, you know, right there, I have to ask is like, well, why didn't she feel like this was a trusting environment to bring this to you? And so that's where I'm getting at, is that it really helps prevent issues and relationships, team dynamics and businesses, if you're able to have a trusting relationship with others and begin to unleash. But it has to start from the top bottom. It has to start from leadership, really. And leadership just allowing that space to occur.
Yeah. One of the things that I frequently tell my clients, particularly the higher up they get in an organization, is leaders set the standards, right? And people will always follow what you do, not what you say is important. So if they have to observe, well, this is what he says company policy is, or this is what she says the company values, but they're actually living different. The employees actually follow the leader's behavior. So as a call to leaders, then, if we're going to set that standard, what are those in your mind, in your experience, what are those non-negotiable things that we need to do to show up and set that healthy leadership standard to create those dynamics you're talking about?
I think step number one would be just to fully accept the fact that you're human. And everyone else is too. And you have flaws. They have flaws. Everybody has flaws. That's number one, is just accept who you are in this moment. And then, you know, step number two is to be the example. And you're already having to be the example. And that may feel like a lot of weight on your shoulders. Like, why do I always have to be the example? Well, if you chose this leadership position, you also chose the responsibility of being the example. And accept that. Again, it's like a lot of steps of acceptance, really. And, you know, step number three is really just, how do you want your environment to operate? Do you want them there to be more trust first? Do you want there to be more action first? Do you want there to be more loyalty? Maybe you're having a turnover issue and maybe you just need more loyalty, you know? So kind of identify, what is the number one thing you want right now in your workplace or in your team dynamics? And start there. But that's where it comes where you're going to have a meeting. Yeah. You're going to have to show up. And I remember watching a speech, I forget the guy's name, unfortunately, but it was a great speech. He was talking about how he was a leader in his corporate world. He just got a promotion and he was like coming in with, you know, big old belt buckle and cowboy boots and be like, all right, I'm the leader. And he started doing the team meetings and he was basically acting as what we call dictator leadership. You know, I tell you what's happening. I'm giving the announcements and I tell you what we need to do. And if there's a question or two, great, but that's it. Like, no one really voices anything.
Yeah.
Once he started realizing, man, people hate him. People don't want to work with him. People don't want to work here. Like, they're just like, they don't feel like they're valuable, right? And you as a leader right now may not feel like you're valuable because of how your teammates are treating you. Well, if you start opening up and actually showing up, what this guy did is he comes in, you know, I think this is like a year later or something. He comes in, hands off the belt buckle, put on some tennis shoes. He starts going, you know, I had a really crappy day yesterday. I had to take my son to the emergency room, et cetera, et cetera. How are you guys doing this week? Something as simple as that.
Oh, wow.
And people just went, you know, my mom went to the hospital last week. I know how you're feeling. I know how you know, it starts to create a rapport, relatability.
Yeah.
You know, the old model of I come to work, I clock in, I clock out. I do not talk about my personal relationship other than the highlights of the good, like keeping up with the Mrs. Joneses, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, that's so not what our culture is anymore. Yet corporate space and business space likes to think that it still is for some reason. And it's all part of vulnerability. I got to show ego to show that I know what I'm talking about, or else you might, you know, think that I'm not, and that's going to hurt me. And then you're going to leave and people are going to find out. And it's just this whole spiral of fear. But in all reality, people just want to deeply connect with you as a person. They want to be valued. And the only way to be valued is to actually know who they are. And so opening up a little bit more, just even in your meetings, it'll change everything.
Wow. Oh, that is phenomenal stuff that I wish we had more time to dive into, but we'll talk about how they can get in touch with you and find out more in a little bit. But I want to spend just the last few minutes of our interview talking specifically about your business, because you've had to change and pivot during these last 4, 5, 6 weeks. And a lot of the people that are tuning in and watching this are either in the camp of maybe now is the time to start my business, or now I've started it, but I need to pivot it. So why don't you just start by giving us the reality of how you've had to pivot during these last 6 weeks of social distancing space and what your company is looking at doing right now?
Well, for me, it was interesting, a very, very unique case, because I actually started going on a sabbatical starting January. And I was like, April's the month, which did not happen.
Yeah.
It's just totally fine. But where I feel I really had to pivot, and where people are really needing to pivot right now, especially if you're in a negative space, is to really understand that the pivot right now that needs to happen is to look for opportunity rather than scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
And right now there is so much opportunity. So for me, I just started collaborating a little bit more with people that I knew had a foundational base of customers, repeat customers specifically, not new customers, repeat customers. Because they built a long-term relationship with them, which means they built, you know, the trust and the like of bringing in other experts. And so what I did as a consultant for corporations and such is like, hey, call them my friend Jean. And I'm like, you know, just kind of curious, would this be valuable to your clientele, turning 2-hour meetings into 15 minute meetings? And she's like, hell yes. So I just created a video training and I sent it to her and she's going to put it on her page and it goes for sale and we get 50-50. Like, you know, there's so much opportunity. I don't have to sell it. I just literally give her the one recorded training. She's selling it for me and I get 50% of the cut. Pretty sweet deal. So, you know, there's so much opportunity out there. You have so many friends out there you could collaborate with. And right now they're looking for collaboration. So when it comes to the pivoting, really look for collaboration. Really look for ways of how you can serve their audience. And then maybe have them come and serve your audience if you have one. So the pivoting that needs to happen is look for the opportunity, the new opportunity, and not the scarcity. You know, I'll kind of real quick put a little side story, is a lot of my speaker friends specifically, they're hurting. And these tend to be speakers that have been in the space for a longer time. And they just want to do speaking. They don't necessarily want to do consulting. So it's kind of what we call the rock star status of the speaking world,
yeah.
Right? And they're hurting right now because all their events were canceled for 2020, even into the fall. I think some are pending, but it's just really bad. So they're out of revenue for an entire year. And what they're trying to do is just go straight to virtual speaking. And that's good. There's some spaces there, but it's going to take a while for that to really catch on, you know? So how I'm telling them to pivot, I'm like, you know, there's some amazing things you can do just through creating recordings of your of pieces of your speeches, like expand on them, record pieces of your speeches, and then sell them to past attendees of all the events you spoke at. And you can make a really nice chunk of change to help you get through 2020. And, you know, some of them took it, some of them didn't.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen. But there's opportunity everywhere. So think outside of what you have really been doing and just see what others are doing and see if you can play in those fields just a little bit. That's more passive rather than being super active in consulting. Create a recording.
That's great. And one of the standard questions that I ask everybody that I think you just touched on is one of my personal favorite coaching questions is to say, what does this situation make possible? Right? Because it helps us reframe what's next. I have an opportunity, not an obstacle. And I think you touched on that brilliantly right there. In that space, with that as our background, which of these changes do you think is a temporary thing that we just need to pivot and lean into? And what's maybe a more permanent thing that we can just start building that momentum right now and experience that success so that whenever this thing is over, we're 2, 3, 4 steps ahead of where we used to be and where everybody else still is.
Mm. Well, I know what's going to be more permanent, maybe not across the entire board, but what's going to be more permanent is online space and events. And so video. It was king before. It's now super empire, like whatever is about king. But it's like God almost at this point. And so really leveraging video as much as you possibly can. Okay. There's so many things out there that are free now. Like I know Zoom has lowered their costs on stuff. WebEx has now a really good competitor against Zoom. Sorry, Zoom. I love you, but man. So WebEx has come out with stuff. Facebook is just putting out a video conferencing option for those of you who have Facebook groups. Like there's so much opportunity with video. It's absolutely ridiculous. That's going to keep going. Now, tell a little story. My publisher, who helped me with the book and everything, Black Card Books, they decided to actually take their seminar events. These are like 3-day seminar events all around the world. This was their main model. They actually decided, hey, let's try a live event online and see how this goes, like an online summit. And so they tried it. And this was like right when Corona was happening. They tried it. They made ridiculous amount of sales. And so they're like, oh my gosh, we're going to take a huge portion of our business and put it online now, because now they don't have to fly somewhere and pay for the hotels, et cetera. It's all online. And many other companies are following suit. Tony Robbins and Dan Graziosi, they just created their own like webinar seminar type events to help you become part of a mastermind. Like this is all really happening at supersonic speed now, because now the big influencers are catching on to what the small businesses were doing. So now is the time to leverage on video. It's going to stay. Some things that maybe will not stay. And things that are not going to or are going to come back is toilet paper, hand sanitizer.
Can't wait for that. Yeah, that'd be good.
All those things. But also what's going to come back is what I call micro businesses or micro locations. So these are going to be things like coffee shops, which already were a big deal. They're going to be so much bigger. Anything under apartment buildings or in small communities. It's kind of like a European or Asian model where you had all the apartments above and you had all the stores below. They're starting to come into suburbs anyway. It's just going to be more of a thing because now they don't have to travel far away to go and hang out with friends or be in a great, what we call experience environments.
Yeah.
So gaming rooms, cafes, restaurants, anywhere where we're actually going to experience something really unique, those are going to be coming up a lot more. So it's going to be really fun.
So either maybe the business opportunity investment there is either to be on the cutting edge and start setting up and planning for one of those or figure out what those spaces will need that maybe I want to look and say, well, I don't want to own a cafe, but cafes need all sorts of other things to work that maybe they can pivot into that space. There's lots of opportunity that's going to emerge out of that.
Oh yeah. And anything that goes green is going to be huge for micro businesses. We already were on that, global warming kick before all this started happening. And now the globe is really kind of healing itself while we're going through this coronavirus. So there's going to be a huge movement, especially with Gen Z and millennials, where they're going to want to continue that movement as we move forward. So if you can be as green as possible or provide green as possible, that's going to be a really lucrative business model.
That's great. Anastasia, how can we contact you to find out more? Where do we go? What do you have on offer for us today that people can use to follow up with you?
Well, the good thing about my name, Anastasia Button, is I am the only one on Google.
That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you. You can find me anywhere on there. I have an older website and it needs changing, to be honest, but it's anastasiabutton.com. But most relevant is scaleyourleadership.com. Scaleyourleadership.com. That's where I do my generational consulting, turning your meetings from 2 hours to 15 minutes and get more stuff done faster, sooner, and easier than you ever thought possible. But that's really where I hang out the most. I just got a TikTok for all you people who are getting on TikTok.
Ooh.
And it is so much fun. I'm Anastasia V for Valentine Button. And you can find me anywhere on Google though, if you forget any of those things.
Okay. Well, I'll be sure that it's posted here. It'll be posted in the show notes. People will have access to it.
Awesome.
Would you leave us with one final encouraging word or thought? Like, give us one moment of inspiration to continue to press on and lean into this time.
So you have been blessed with something for the last few weeks, if not more. You've been blessed with stillness. You've been blessed with quiet. You've been blessed with the lack of complete and utter distraction by filling your calendar with activity. It's a blessing because now you have the opportunity to stay still and really get deep into your own mind, body, soul and identify what you've been avoiding. This has been a great time. If you haven't done that already, you still have time. You have been able to dive deep and really identify what you've been avoiding. Now is the time to feel through that fear fully while you have this peace and quiet, is to fully feel through that fear and taking action with the fear. So I love a quote and I totally forget who said it. You're all gonna know who it is, but me. It's, you cannot have courage without the presence of fear. Mm-hmm. And so I'm asking you as a person, I'm calling out that warrior self within, that authentic self, to say, I will be courageous. I will show bravery in the face of fear, and I will do what my true calling is, what I'm pulled to do, what I've been aching to do, but been avoiding and filling it with a distraction. That's my word for you today.
Oh man, you're sending chills up my spine. I love it so much. Anastasia, thank you for joining us on this conference. You are going to bless a ton of people. And I can't wait to see the transformation that comes out of this because of the part that you have played. Thank you very much.